for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Monday morning, July the 1st, 1996. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack and Carol Canada of Phoenix, Arizona are the ministers of the morning.
Yes, Lord.
Surely the Lord is in thy presence. Yea, know that my presence shall go before thee. Yea, did not Moses cry out for my presence and my glory? And I say unto thee that my presence shall go with thee in this hour. Yea, cry out unto me, saith the Lord, and truly my presence shall be at thy side. For surely this is the day of the outpouring of the Spirit. Know that my glory shall be seen and shall come forth in this hour and in this day. Yea, weep before the porch and the altar, my people. Cry out before the Lord, and the Lord God shall not disappoint thee. He shall meet thy needs. Yea, he shall save thy families. Cry out unto me. My presence is near thee, saith the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
You know, my wife and I have gone through a lot of things like a lot of you have, and are still meeting some challenges that are before us. And my wife and I got called into full-time ministry 13 years ago. I spent 18 years with AT&T, and I sang in nightclubs for a few years, and I got saved out of that situation. And I've always just sang for the Lord. And I sang minister part-time for 15 years before I went full-time. So you think these things happen overnight. They don't. You know, you got to pay some dues, if that's the right word to use, and get some experience and gain some confidence and go in those areas. And so we began to have a lot of things that was he kept hitting us out on the cutting edge, especially in the deliverance realm. That was really kind of foreign to us. And you know, it's amazing how your need changes as your theology changes as your need changes. You know, you don't believe in healing till you get sick, and then all of a sudden your theology changes. You don't need deliverance till you look at your blue-eyed son and see those eyes coal black, and you say, "What happened here?" Was raised in church all of his life. You know, what's the problem? And so you begin to make some adjustments. And it's going back to the Word of God and say, hey, there's perhaps some things that I've missed and perhaps some things I need to adjust. And so we have some tapes back there. We didn't bring a lot of tapes with us. We brought a few. And I just want to go with them real quick. I'm not really a good salesman. I just want to share some of the things that the Lord showed us through the years. And this is a teaching my wife did called Marriage, Romance, and Sex. And it's a two-tape series. And my wife does a teaching on sexuality to some degree. And it was a survey taken that she used from Ann Landers. Ann Landers got a letter from a guy. He wrote in this, and we're all adults here, so I'm just going to lay it right out in black and white. But he wrote a letter to her and said, you know, he says, I'm not satisfying my wife to the fullest. And I'm really considering a penile implant. What do you suggest in this area? So Ann Landers put that question out to the whole United States, to the women of this country, and asked them what they thought about that idea of a man doing this type of thing. And they did a survey, and they got the survey back, and it will astound you what the results was. But the average woman over 40, actually, most of the women wrote back were over 40, which, you know. And so if you want to know what that answer is, the tape's back there. I'll be glad to sell it to you. See, I know how to fish down here in Arkansas. Throw that thing out there, reel one. No, just kidding. But it's quite interesting. We had a couple yesterday. They come up to the table and said, I'm going to tell you what I think before I buy it. And they tell us what they think. And it's usually 180 degrees off the other direction. But anyway, it's a good tape. My wife does a teaching here on leechings or the lots that steal your anointing, they steal your mantle, and they steal your authority. So they're your blessings, per se. And how many know there's lots out there, there's leeches. And what a leech is a blood sucker. It's those that takes things, take, they're like, and also referred to as goats. See, a goat will come and eat all the food from the sheep. So when a sheep wants something to eat, it's all gone. Because the goats ate it up and out the door. See, and the pastor or the ministry are worn out, have nothing left to give. They're about ready to meet their ends, you know, because they're exhausted. And they just eat it all up and go out, and the sheep come by and they can't have no food. And so she talks about that. She also does a teaching on fear. If you want to hear a teaching on fear, you listen to this tape. Because this gal here was bound by fear for many, many years. There was a time you would never get her up here to pray for folks, much less sing. And she can preach, too. She can go a little bit. Yeah? Well, she said we should go before we leave here. We'll see. But she can go. I guarantee you she can go. But she wasn't always that way. She would sit back in the back row. I'd introduce her. She'd raise her hand, sit back down. And that's kind of, you know, I was the extent of it. I'm not lying to you. That's the way it was. People that knew us back then, they thought I got up. That's how I got remarried. I've had people say, that ain't Jack's wife. Yeah, it's my wife, but she's been renewed. See, I mean, she's weighed 89 pounds. You know, she looked like she was 40 years past her age. You know, she was very, very weakly. She was sickly. And then Jesus showed up. I mean, the real one. And when a real one comes, things change. When real Jesus walks in the door, things change. You can't stay, I don't care who you are, you cannot stay the same. And so she does a teaching on fear. I'll ask you to stop by there. She does one here. I have one called Restoring Touch Without a Diet, and she does one called Loyalty. I'll tell you something, folks. This tape on loyalty, how many of we need a renewing of loyalty in the body of Christ? Christ, by Christ, they're not loyal as a whole. They're not. I mean, what I'm talking about. I'll be over to see you, da, 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 and you know, that's the last you see him. Well, I'll send that check's in the mail, brother. Check's in the mail. You heard that before?
Yeah.
See, they're not loyal. They're worried they weren't 10 cents. About 85% of them, that's conservative. But I'm just saying, that's been my experience. You find very few people that will say what they want to say. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit this morning. We do two conferences a year in Arizona and Phoenix. My wife and I, our ministry, we do a couples conference in March, and we do a general conference in November, which we have brochures back there if you want to look at those. But we have something God has began to lay on our heart. We've had some pretty good response from that. We got, I don't know how many, 26 states last year. We have about people from 26 states. It's a nice area. It's a nice hotel. It's a 4-star hotel. We have nice facilities, and it's in Flagstaff. Right, which is about 2 hours north of Phoenix. So you can fly in and get rent a car and drive one up. Some nice drive, pretty view, cool. Cool country, pine trees and all that kind of stuff. Like, you're not used to it, right? But in Arizona, that's a blessing. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, one of the things we did at one of our conferences, my wife did a teaching called The Battle for Control. I mean, there's a battle for control in marriages. Say, who's the boss? You know, we all know the men are, right? Right? Come on, guys, help me out here, man. You got to get these women squared away, you know? Tell them women when you first get married, now when you get through, put that toilet seat lid back up where it belongs. Yeah, that'd go over like a lead balloon. Yeah. Some of y'all are still thinking about that one. Okay. Some of y'all have been married a while and know what I'm talking about, all right? Thank you. Now I do a teaching called The Men in Our Lives, which is the effects of men in our lives. How many know that, you know, fathers have an effect on us? I'm not going to minister on that as far as the word is this time, but men have an effect on, good, bad, or indifferent. They have an effect on our lives. And some of us had some people had wonderful fathers, some had no fathers. I had no father. And so God said, I'll be a father to the fatherless. He began to father me and bring me out. And he began to show me how to bless the blessing of the Father and impart that to people. And because a lot of people have been stagnant most of all their life because they have not been blessed by the Father. And God wants to eagerly bless his people. Amen? And then I do one called Priest, Prophet, and King, the man's position. I mean, a lot of men, I do a lot of men's things, and a lot of men don't know what to do. That's why they're not doing it. That's why Promise Keepers are so... It's such a big success. Like what John Wimber said about Promise Keepers. He says, ask your son if you're a Promise Keeper. That'll tell you. Or your daughter. See? Getting quiet. How come he gets quiet when he mentions those type of things? But Priest, Prophet, King, he's a priest of his home. He's the guy he's the intercessor. He's the guy that stands between the family and the throne of God as the intercessor. That's the priestly position. His priesthood between the people of Israel and Godhead. And he began to make the proper sacrifices for the people as intercession. Nehemiah did an intercession for the people. As men of the house, we're to intercede and pray for our families. A lot of men want to do that. They don't know how to do that. This will help you show you how to do that. Prophet is God who receives the word of the Lord and gives it to his people. Receive the word of the Lord and give it to your family. See? And what happens a lot of times, we say it's the word of God. It's not. We prophesy out of own inspiration. It's not God. Our kids know it. Our wife knows it. And everybody around us knows it. We're trying to manipulate and persuade. It wasn't from God. You get it from God. You see, it's got to be in that order. It's got to be in the priestly closet. Get the word of God and give it to your family. When you do that, then all heaven backs you up. Your kids know it. Your wife knows it. And those receiving it knows it's from God. and you can move in that direction. But you got to get it in the closet. We do not have a praying church. We got to start learning how to pray. See, the king's the guy that guards the gates. He guards the gates of the kingdom. He governs what comes in and out your house. I like what E.V. Hill, how many know who E.V. Hill is? He's a black preacher out of East L.A. He said something like this one time. His daughter was 16 years old, and she came home, and she getting ready to go on her first little date, and this guy come knocking on the door. You know, an old Dr. E.V. Hill opened the door up, and he said, I looked out the door, I saw this thing standing on my doorstep. And I looks upon it, and he said, and this thing looks at me, and he says, say, is Rose here? He said, not for you. Whoom! Slammed the door. See? Got to guard the gate. She come running downstairs. Honey, honey, was that daddy, daddy? Was that for me? Was that for me? He said, no, baby, there wasn't nothing there for you. You got to guard. He says you got to hook him up. So you can't put a racehorse and mule together expecting anything. You got to hook him up. She got mad at him. She got lost her cool and called him a male chauvinist pig and all that kind of stuff. But you know where she is today? She's a lawyer, and corporate lawyer in New York, in Wall Street, actually. And she's married to a corporate lawyer in Wall Street. See, so he did right. Amen? Don't you want to see your kids going? It's called Preach, Prophet, King. And there's more I do. I'll talk about them later. But on soul ties, we do a teaching on soul ties. I think Brother Coffey mentioned a little bit yesterday in his message. That's all I heard about soul ties. How many understand what soul ties are? And some of you know. Okay? When you have relationships or surrender your soul or your emotional part of you to something or some persons, then you become fragmented. And that's where a lot of people have difficulty in making decisions. See, they're confused all the time. They can't make decisions because their soul is fragmented. You know, we go a little bit further in this because it's not just a sexual thing. See, you go to, especially in leadership, in pastoral or in business, you have people that you give authority to. They misuse it. They take advantage of you and cast you aside, see? And they walk out the door and leave you hanging and holding the bag. See, then they've taken part of you have what you have to do. Like David in Psalms 23 says, the Lord restoreth my soul. The word restoreth there means to call back again, to retrieve. See, and if he had to call it back, then he went somewhere. And so when someone does that to you, you have to stand up and say, Father, I call my soul back. I call my anointing back. I call my mantle back. And I call my authority that I gave that person back to me. See, I bless them, send them on their way, but you got to retrieve it. And as you begin to retrieve these things, you feel that oneness come in. And I'm back in charge again, see? And that's kind of a nutshell. I want to talk to you this morning about a subject I think is going to really help us, help you. I pray that it does. I'm going to talk to you about offenses and the effects of offenses in our life. See, I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe they're operational. But I believe this also. I believe that we have to come to a place where our character has to be brought up to the level where our anointing. See, I believe that your anointing. See, when you get a gift from God, that's the gift. The depth of your anointing is determined by the depth of your surrender. See, how much anointing God puts upon you is determined by how much you want to surrender unto Him. And not so much giving things away, but yield your vessel to His will in your life. See, and as you begin to develop the character in your life, then your anointing will increase. You understand what I'm saying? I'll give you an example. We was at a meeting one time, and this guy was ministering. He was preaching, and he went through it. He was real late at night, and he was going through some things. And I was sitting there. I said, "Man, this guy, sometimes he just like taking a chalkboard and regular nail. That's the way it grained me. It just grained me. See." I said, go on. I said, is it me? You ever been in that position? Is it me? Am I the only? I said, care. I feel care. Is it me? Am I feeling this or what? What is this? You know, and I'm thinking to myself, and he just kept on. And also, he starts prophesying to people, you know, just going on for a long time. I said, I had enough of it. I got to my guitar and walked out the door, went back to my room, went to sleep. Well, it really troubled me. Well, during the night, our secretary was with us at the time, Deanna, and Carol. And during the night, they had dreams. They dreamed that this guy has dressed up like a woman, trying to get in bed with him. And they're fighting him off, see? And they both had the same dream. They shared it the next morning at coffee. I said, oh. So I went to ask some people that knew him. I said, what's the deal with these people, this guy here? What's his background? Oh, I said, well, he's been in pornography for some years, but he's the Lord's delivering from it. I said, oh, he has. See, oh, he has. He might not be active, or those spirits are, and they're hounding around him and everything else. And I said, well, Lord, how can he prophesy like he prophesied? Well, his gift was still there, but there was no anointing with it. See? No anointing. And what happened was his character was not at the level it should be to where the anointing could flow. See? And until we begin to develop our character, and what you do by developing character is bringing that soul man under subjection to the Holy Spirit in your life and it be renewed by the Word of God. There's things in our, that's where deliverance comes in. That's where the powers of darkness really attack us mostly in our soul's realm, our mind, will, and emotions. And so we began to ask God to deliver us and release us from things in our life. It takes a process. It's not an overnight thing. It's a process. And so you began to get that process and get renewed, and your anointing will be increasing. And you can feel more of a liberty. Amen? So am I making sense to you? I hope it's digestible. I want to make sure it's digestible to you. I want to take Matthew 24:10. If you want to turn there or write it down, it's not going to be a long verse. Matthew 24:10. We're going to talk about offenses, you know. Matthew 24:10 says this, "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Jesus is saying in the last days many people will be offended. See? Betrayed and hated. It's not a very happy scenario, but many does not mean all. Say that. Many does not mean all. See? So not all has to be offended. Amen? Persecution will come from fellow believer as well as unbelievers. How many know that? It's coming its way. So we might as well get ready for it, but when the attack starts, you can overcome them if you don't hold on to the offense. How many know anything about football or basketball? How many follow sports at all? Okay, how many know what a scrimmage is? Raise your hand if you know what a scrimmage is. Okay, for you that don't know what a scrimmage is, here's how it works. In sports or athletics, you have what they call inter-squad scrimmage. Okay, let's say, for instance, the Glenn had a football team or basketball team or whatever it was, and I'm going to play his team next week. Okay, you have an offense. How many know what offense and defense is? Raise your hand. You know, offense is attack, defense is defense. Okay, you just protect. Okay, so I'm going to play Glenn's team next week. So what I would do in the inter-squad scrimmage was I would set my offense up, see? And what I did, I'd set my defense up the way he sets his defense up. Because I know how he sets it, how he plays his team. I'll put his defense out there. I'll bring my offensive team out, and I'll try and score against his type of defense. See? And then we'd turn it around, see? And then I'd set my offense up the way he plays his offense and kind of the plays that they run. And I'll set my defense up to stop that offense. Okay? That's called an inter-squad scrimmage. And then whenever we go to the game, we're not going to be so shocked when we see him run certain plays. Because we have an idea of what he does normally. There's always the trick play. But as a rule, we know pretty much how he plays the game. And I believe that's what the Lord's been kind of doing with his people. He's been kind of running them through inter-squad scrimmages, you know, with the offenses that we've been kind of coming. Because the real offense is going to be coming. He's trying to get us to learn some things here with the little spats and sputes that we have and get over those type of things, because when it comes down to wire, those ain't going to mean a hill of beans when the real heat comes on. You know what I'm saying? So he's been having us do some inter-squad scrimmages. Okay? You know, in Matthew 18:21-22, you can turn over to that if you want to. You've heard these scriptures many times before, but I want to try and perhaps, how many know you can hear one word to change your life? See, I remember I told an old man one time, I said, you know, I want to tell you this story. I said, have you heard this before? He said this to me. He said, yes, I might have, but tell it to me again in case I forgot something or didn't get everything. See, so sometimes we need to hear it again just to get, you know, just to get through it. You ever read a scripture 100 times and all of a sudden just, boom, jump off at you? See, well, maybe something will jump today. Amen? You like to laugh? I want to tell you something real funny before I shared this last night. This old boy is down in Arkansas, and he came home and found his hound dog in his driveway, laying down there. And he looked, oh, my goodness gracious. He picked that hound dog up and took it to the veterinarian. He said, so you got to help me. My dog, look at him. He said, I think he's dead. I don't know what's wrong with him. So he kind of examined. The dog wouldn't move. So finally he walked over and opened his door to this little cage, and this cat come walking out. And this cat kind of walked around this dog and walked around the dog, kind of staring at him, walked around, come back around, and just walked back in the cage, and he shut the door. Dog didn't move, you know. The guy looked at him and says, well, your dog's dead. And the guy said, well, that's too bad. He says, well, Doc, how much do I owe you? He said, $250. He said, $250 to tell me my dog's dead? He said, yeah. I said, it's $50 for the office call and $200 for the CAT scan. Sometimes we get CAT scans. God just has a way of doing things. Matthew 2:18, 21-22. Then came Peter to Jesus and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, until seven times, but 70 times seven. How many know that's a lot of times? And what's he really saying there? Is he saying 749 times or 400, what is it, 470 times? Something like that. I'm not really good at math, you can tell, my degree. But it ain't 490. Okay, that's not really what he's saying. You and I know that, don't we? What is he really saying there? He's saying this. If my brother does me wrong, I forgive him. Now, if he does me wrong again, I forgive him. Now, if he does me wrong again, I still forgive him. Now, we got that down, don't we? We know that's just the way it is. We got to forgive. But here's what he's saying there. If he forgives me, if he does me wrong, I forgive him. And I go, I leave, and I walk away, and I go to work that night, and I think about what he did to me. See, then I forgive him again. Then I walk over here an hour later and think about it again. He said, then you forgive him again. And you got what you got, you keep forgiving. You set your will to forgive him. And pretty soon, the thought won't even come across your mind. That's what God's saying. You got to set your will to forgive. Every time it crosses your wavelength in your mind, you reject it. Say, I have forgiven this brother. It's over with. See, and as you begin to do that, then the enemy will leave you alone. See, if you keep rehearsing it, how you know he always shows up? Yeah, but if you could have done it this way, you know, and off you go. He starts telling you all about it. See, but you can't give way to that. Amen? Matthew 5:43-45 says this. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust. See, we have no right to hold on to offenses. We are to forgive quickly and love one another. Then offenses will not lodge within us. We have to set our will to make the decision today. Make the decision today, now, not to be offended, no matter what happens. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to be hurt or going to be affected. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you got to make your mind up. You're not going to lodge and hold on to the offense. Amen? Okay, and we're going to talk about why not to. Okay? What does holding on to offenses do? The first thing it does, and listen to this. If you don't hear nothing today, you listen to this. What does offenses do? It distracts us from our destiny in God. If we allow an offense to live within us, okay, it destroys our vision and progression in our destiny. You know what I'm saying? Everything stops in your spiritual walk when you hold on to an offense. You hear me? In these days, if the devil can get us offended, he can abort the end time works and the part that we play in it. God's going to do what he's going to do. If the question is he going to go do it through you or through me? That's the question. See, we're going to become vessels that can be used and helpful for the kingdom of God. So, number one, it can abort your destiny if you lodge and hang on to fences. Second thing, holding on to fences will cause us to live in little circles of people that revolves around our offenses. Okay, and not around the Lord. You ever been there? It's getting quiet here this morning. Y'all doing some real serious thinking. Because, see, I'm going to tell you something I haven't done. These are things that we all deal with. This is nothing, I'm not pointing fingers. We're in this thing together. We're a family, okay? We're going to talk and we're going to help each other out. Okay, because when you leave here this morning, I believe you're going to be different and changed in Jesus' name. Amen? Praise God. See, the offense gets between us and our fellow man and between us and the Lord. It distracts us from going forward. We just maintain what we have when we lodge and hang on to fences. See, it stops. We have a little area of people we become involved with that have those type of offenses. The third thing that happens to us is we lose our joy, we lose our strength, we lose our peace, we lose our excitement, we move into become tired, we become oppressed, worn out, and it robs us of all energy. You ever been there before? Sometimes you say, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Why not feel this? I'm just tired. In reality, this could be what part of it is. Perhaps there's an offense there, and it's lodging within your system, and God wants it purged. It opens the door for betrayal and hatred. Fourth thing that happens is it breeds self-pity. And we begin to live on a hill of offenses with other people just like us. See? We all start crying how so-and-so did us wrong. Once that self-pity, once in that self, the pit of self-pity, we will be drawn to a whole different group of people that we really don't need to be around. How many know the birds of a feather flock together? You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden you find people just like you. Yeah, so-and-so did me wrong. Yeah, I know it's that. Come here, bro. I'll tell you how he really is. See, and there you go. You get locked up with people in the same type of group that you're in. And it's not a healthy situation to be in. See, it's not healthy. You got to deal with those things. Many people come to leadership and the churches for help. And then when the leadership gives them the truth, they get all huffy and puffy and they run off and they go whining and crying. Oh, and they start whining and crying, belly aching. And then here's what happens. A lot of times, the pastor go running after them. You know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I was just trying to help you. Well, okay. Just don't let it happen again. You know, well, what happened there? All of a sudden, that person is manipulating the leadership. See, self-pity is this. Self-pity will pull you down. Compassion will pull you up. See? So when someone moves, you got to move with compassion. So, brother, that was wrong, but you have to sit there and take that. Let me pull you out of this thing. You reach your hand and pull them out of that pit of self-pity and put them on the path they're supposed to be. I mean, the church folks are the hardest folks to bring into correction. They walk around with a chip on their shoulder. I'm telling you, you can't say nothing to some church folks. But I'll tell you what, I'm getting to a place right now. I don't care how they respond. Truth's the truth. You know what I'm saying? I walked into churches, and I'll tell you right now, I do it everywhere I go. I get tired of walking to churches where it acts like it's McDonald's. See, God's house is not McDonald's. You got kids running up down the aisles and screaming and hollering and sitting back there and passing notes and everything. I don't put up with it. You know, I did it yesterday. I said, hey, y'all, you three boys, you come down and sit with your parents. I'll tell you why that happens. Here's why I like to do that. Okay, there's two things you got to look at. Number one is that when kids are back there, you know, they're not listening to you to begin with. They're passing notes. And I used to do that when I was a kid because I didn't know anyone. No one told me anything different, so I'm going to do it. Kids are going to do what they can do until someone tells them anything different. And the main thing is because the parents are so intimidated by the kids, I don't want to do them wrong because they might leave on me. Well, let them go. You know, they know what's right and what's wrong. See? But at any rate, here's what happens a lot of times is that, say you have dad right here, okay? And dad's son's back there in the back with two or three other boys and they're passing notes and giggling and laughing and everything. Not listening to a word you're saying. Y'all ever minister any, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, I stop it. I say, you boys, go sit with your parents or someone, your friend's parents. I'll break it up right then. And before it even starts. And that's not a punishment to them. It's just setting things in order. Okay? And here's what happens. If dad's here and the son's back there or somewhere else, and we're preaching the word of God and something hits him between the eyes that he needs to deal with, if his family's somewhere else, he thinks he's skated. Oh, yeah, that's good word, brother. Whew. My boys ain't here heard that because they know exactly how I am. And that's exactly the truth. See, if the son's sitting here, he knows how dad is at home. And dad knows that he knows how he is at home. So when the word of God comes to dad, the dad's here, the son's here, or the wife's here, and God's saying, you better deal with this because your family knows this is truth. And it'd be more likely he'll come to the altar and get things right with God. See what I'm saying? Is it making sense to you? It's called order. It's called order. They need to receive those things. And I'll tell you something else that bothers me. There's a lot of grandmothers here tonight. I'm going to tell you grandparents. Here's what grandparents have a tendency. They got a grandkid. They'll bring that kid right down the front row. See? And they'll sit him down and you don't say nothing about that grandbaby. That's their grandbaby. Don't you be saying nothing about that grandbaby. You talk about a war. Now, you got a war in your hand. You start talking about somebody's grandbaby. Well, I'm going to talk about it for a second. Here's what happens. Okay? A guy or a gal comes in the door, and they sit right here. And they need deliverance something fierce. They need a touch of God in their life. They really do. They just really do. But all they can see is that little baby flashing in their face and going goo-goo-ga-ga. and all the half, three or four rows behind them. Do it. And so what's going to happen is that that person is going to get up and walk out of here, not delivered, not free from things that they need help in. And who's going to be held responsible for that? This grandmother right here. That grandmother is held responsible for distracting that situation. Those people can't receive help. That's the truth, folks. So we got to change some things. It's called characters. It's called developing character. And not be offended when someone brings order to you. Because it has a purpose and a plan. I see it everywhere I go. And there's nothing wrong with having grandkids and showing off after church. But how many times, how many hours in a week? 24 times 7 was 168, 69, something like that. And you come to church 3 hours a week, normally. Maybe four. That's not much to ask. Undivided attention for the Lord for 4 hours a week out of 168 hours. That isn't much time. See, if you say kids can't sit there and get their attention, span, focused, sure they can. They can learn a rap song when they're 6 years old. Don't sit there, don't tell them they can't sit there and learn the Word of God. Sure they can. So we've got to teach them. So if the offense comes there, deal with it and adjust with it. Don't be running off. You know, bring order. God, we got to have some people can take some things, and we got to learn some things. I could have got offended this morning. I didn't. I almost did. And every 10 minutes on something, there's always something going to stick the head up. You know what I'm saying? But someone did something this morning that I almost let it offend me, but I backed off. I said, no, I'm not going to let it in. See? So you got to get past these things. Amen. So when leadership comes to you and brings correction, you know, they might not do it the most tactful way. You know, sometimes, you know, you don't. It's like the guy that said, you know, this guy was like a fireman, and he got killed. You know, he got killed, and so they're trying to find somebody to go to his wife and tell him he got killed. And so they said, we got to be very tactful in this thing because, you know, it's just a sensitive time. And so this brother said, well, I know him, I'll tell him, no problem. He said, are you sure? He said, yeah, sure. You don't bring a psychologist? No, I can do it. I can handle it. So he walked over to the guy's house and knocked on the door, and she answered the door, and he says, Widow Brown? She said, I ain't no widow. He said, yes, you are. You know, some guys just don't know how to do things. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes you gotta be a little tactful and understand where they're coming from. You know, some people, when you listen to what they're saying, not always how they say it. Get the message. You know, if the pastor's trying to bring some correction, understand that a little bit. Say, okay, there's some smoke, there's some fire, so let's deal with some of the smoke here and the fire and deal with those things and bring correction. Because I tell you what, the church is a mess. The church as a whole is a mess. Y'all come from most of them. You know what I'm talking about. I travel across this country from one side to the other. I tell you, the church as a whole is a mess. I live in one church that I felt had order in it. I mean, really had order in it. There's some that's been pretty close. I was a little Mexican church down in Belen, New Mexico. Okay? And I came to the pastor's house, this little gal, she's probably three years old, her name was Lacey. Little Lacey come answer the door. She had a little dress on. She said, are you Mr. Canada? I go, yeah, that's me. Well, would you come in, sir? And said, have a seat. My parents will be with you in a minute. I'm saying to myself, this kid's 3 years old. With manners. I mean, I had to do a double take. I said, I walked in there, and I sat down, and she just polite. And usually the guy just kind of, you know what I'm saying? But this is unbelievable. Come church Sunday, had Sunday morning, the kids sit on the front row with shirts and ties on, dressed up nice, neat, in order, listening to what you're saying. You know, said something about who's the adversary. The devil is! You know, I said, yeah. Little six-year-old kid, the devil is! You know, yeah, brother, come on. See? Yeah, and these kids. Yeah, one kid was out of order. Okay, and all of a sudden I saw the other kid, he went back there in the back, and they had a paddle back in the back room. They had a paddle back there. You hear, whoo, 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 and in about 3 or 4 minutes, here he comes, set him back down. That was the end of that. I said, look, yeah, come on, you know, keep it in order. And they weren't fearful. These kids weren't afraid, like, running around like, oh, they're going to beat me again. That's crazy. They don't want someone to discipline and show them away. See, in a church, have to have somebody show them the way. Amen? I'm kind of off my subject a little bit, but I'm still trying to hang in here. Talk to me. Y'all got amen or old me? Praise God. Matthew 24:10 again says that then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. When offenses lead to betrayal, they disconnect divine relationships and connections from God. In these last days, there will be great opportunities to disassociate ourselves with our brothers and sisters because of offense. The opposite of offense and hate is love. We've got to love our brothers and sisters and understand some of where they come from. Amen? Praise God. A sign of real Christian maturity is how quick you release offenses. Amen? If it takes you 6 years to get over an offense, see, then you're just a baby in the Lord. You haven't grown up yet. Those people that come and tell us stories, I know you have too, and they start telling things that happened to them. You say, my goodness, brother, that's terrible. Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, really? Oh, my goodness. When did all that happen to you, brother? Well, 12 years ago. 12 years ago? And it's like it was yesterday. And then some people carry offenses around like rosaries. Yeah, so-and-so did this to me, and back there they did this to me, and they did that with them. And they walk around carrying offenses with them. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about. Is that right? Yeah, I get down to the bottom of bees now. Yeah, I got room for some more. Somebody want to hurt me? You know? And that's the truth. People get crazy with these things. Real love is tough. Okay, what does Oh, there goes the water. Y'all do that to me every time. Sorry about that, Chief. You got a rag here, bro. We got to get you some things right here on the side here. Every time I come around, I either spill it or I kick it over. Or as long as you don't get offended, we're okay. Well, another thing I want to tell you about while I'm here. We're going to have a foot washing service here tomorrow. This is crazy. Don't you love to laugh? I remember Jerry Seville. Sometimes things happen to you. Jerry Seville, see, he got his first chance to preach his first television services he's going to do. Man, he went and ordered 6 brand new suits, had them shipped to the place where he's going to do the recording. And he was so excited. And, you know, Jerry Seville, he ain't that high anyway. And he got his suits come in that night, and he got them, put them on, and the pants were 6 inches too short. Yeah, I mean, this is long. For him, 6 inches... 6 inches is a lot. That's a lot of inches for a guy that short. You know what I'm saying? And he said, I look here. I wasn't looking. And he had to pull that crotch down about here and walk out there on that stage and try and preach. You know? Then all of a sudden he got tired of it, just pulling him up and said, look here, folks. You know? This is what them people did to me. You know? And just began to tell like it is. Sometimes God says, be yourself. Amen. Just be yourself. People understand. Amen. You know, what you see is what you get. When you come to my house, I'm just like this, but maybe crazier. If you ever come to Phoenix, just come on by and knock on my door. If I'm there, you're welcome to come on in. If I'm not there, don't come in, please. Amen. Hallelujah. Where was I at? Somebody help me here. Praise God. Matthew 13:20-21. But he that receiveth seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. See, the word of God falls on stony places in some people's hearts. See, if we allow our heart to be stony, see, stony means hard. Jesus is saying that his word will not grow in a hard heart. And a hard heart is easily offended. That's just about everything. See, a hard heart builds walls against others. It is focused on itself, and when personal desires are not met, listen to me now, when personal desires are not met, a hard heart becomes very indignant or angry. And when trials and tribulation arise, a person with a hard heart screams out, it isn't fair, and I deserve better. See, a hard heart is offended very quickly. See, a person is offended. See, after, if you don't deal with that hardness, it becomes hard. And it isn't long that every little thing just triggers you off. And you walk around, I can't do that. You ever noticed that, I noticed this, that all the idiots come out and start driving when you start driving? You ever notice that all the idiots get on the highway when you start driving? I couldn't always figure that out, you know? But sometimes you got to start here at home, see. And if you're, it's all, oh, look at what you did. You know, well, maybe God's saying, hey, you, It's time for some adjustments. It's time for some changes. See, God wants us to change some things in our life. You know, I tell you what, folks. My wife and I, let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. This is a scripture that changed my life. It changed our ministry, and I believe it will change yours. We've got to lay down offenses. Have you heard anything this morning at all? Have you heard some things this morning that help you, I hope? We're going to seal up here in a second. I want you to hear what we're saying. You know, Saul was in a situation in chapter 15. We want chapter 16, but I'm going to build up to 16. 16:1 is where we're going to. Okay? But in chapter 15, Saul was asked to do something with the Amalekites. He kind of compromised the thing because he wanted to please the people. He was afraid of the people. And if you want to see a people-pleasing situation, look in chapter 15, because Saul was full of people-pleasing at that point. And so because of fear of the people, he did a lot of things that he normally would have done. He was intimidated, actually. And so a lot of times we do things in ministries and in business and things because we're afraid of what people might say or not say. You know, and when we get the word of the Lord and it's yes and amen, you need to go with it and drop it and let things fall as they fall. You know, he didn't call us to defend the word of God. He called us to proclaim it. So we begin to proclaim the word, then God can sort it all out. Amen. But our ministry, we were struggling with things. And, you know, especially when you're a deliverance minister and you start doing a little bit off, a little bit different than what the normal church scene is, then we got a lot of problems in this country, don't you believe? I want to tell you something, though. Let me listen to me a second. We might have some problems in this country, but it's kind of like Noah's Ark. See, we might stink from time to time, but we're still the best thing floating. You know what I'm saying? We're still the best thing floating. We got some adjustments to make, and we need to pray God have mercy on our soul and our nation and begin to bring some things into order here. And I believe there's going to be it's a different situation, but God's making some adjustments, you know. And it starts with us. The church always is the one that is the forerunner. Good, bad, or indifferent. You see, I got a bunch, look at all these rebellious kids all over the country. Crazy, they're scattered everywhere. And God said to me, yeah, look at my rebellious kids. See, it starts at home. See, and so I said, I took a back take on that one. But anyway, we've been hurt. We've been, you know, asked to leave different places because of some things that God was. And God began to sovereignly move in our life. I went to my church leadership on this deliverance. I said, you know, I believe God's working some deliverance in our life. You know, I like to intern under you, learn some things about this. You know, we had a church of 5,000 people, about 20 people on staff, and I was ready to, you know, I went to about 8 different pastors and I went their way. I'm in the order. I wasn't trying to be rebellious. I was just trying to, you know, and basically they said, well, we'll call you, and when we got somebody here who needs deliverance, we'll call you and kind of help us out on it. So I waited 6 months and nobody called, you know. I said, well, maybe they just, you know, and the bottom line was they didn't know nothing about it. That's the real deal. And so we started working on each other. You know, I see things in her, she sees things in me, and we're lucky we didn't kill one another. You know what I'm saying? You know, so we began to work on each other, and whoever else wanted to come by. I remember first deliverance, one of the big ones we had. Remember, we was driving, after our son left, we was driving to Texas. See, we was driving to Texas down Bell Road in Phoenix, and we would, Carol used to get nauseated everywhere she'd go. When I go sing somewhere, she wouldn't go with me because she couldn't drive but just a mile, she'd get sick. Car sickness. She's nauseated. And so here we're going to go to Texas. And we're in a mile down the road and she's already getting sick. I've been reading a couple of books on deliverance and I knew everything there was to know about it. So she looked at me. She's old Assembly of God background. So she just, you know, she said, well, Jack, if there's a devil here, I'm tired of this stuff. Get it out of me. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command that nausea to come out of you in the name of you right now. And her neck swelled up that big around. And I go, oh, my God. You know? I said, where's page 2? Turn the other page. You know, what I do now? You know, it's actually working, you know? And we drove all the way to Texas up the big old frog in her throat. Got to my sister's place and she threw that thing up in the toilet and it hadn't been 6 cents. That's fact. I mean, we traveled 12,000 miles last summer in the car, so he told me she ain't nauseated. Praise God. Those things real. So we started just kind of branching off from there. And you get reputations and all those type of things. You get hurt and you get offended. And some things you'd bring on yourself, you know. So don't blame it all on them. Sometimes it's just plain stupid on some things we You don't cast our pearl before swine. If they're not open to receive some things, don't give it to them, because they'll use it against you. Amen? But there have been hurts, there have been friendships we lost. You're going to lose some friends along the way. And it's not fun, but it's purging and it's growing. You don't want to do that. But sometimes it's necessary for us to grow. There's going to be relationships that will change. But I'm here to testify to you. God has never taken something from me that He didn't give me something better. Never. Never has He done that. And it won't apply to you too. You say, well, I can't leave those friends because, you know, what would I do? You go with God. We left our church at the time and began to move out and do things that God called us to do. And I told my wife, I said, you and me and Jesus, you know, because I don't know who's going to go with us. And it's tough when you step out in ministry with no church, no funds, just step out in faith. And the devil will tell you you're going to lose your car, you're going to lose your home. You know, I was 13 years ago. We're driving a better car than we drove back then. Got more miles on it. Living in the same house, never missed a payment. Been close, but never missed a payment. He's faithful, you see. He's faithful. And especially with $1,000 that Glenn's going to give us this week. It's going to be... Call it in, brother. Call it in. Amen. So you got to make some adjustments. So it hurts. Yeah, it does. Get offended. Get hurt, wounded. Let's look at chapter 16 for a second here. Now the Lord said to Samuel. See, Samuel had a real heart for Saul. He loved Saul. I believe he really did. He really did. So how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from being reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehem. I can't read a good Bethlehemite. For I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Lord, saying to you this morning, I feel, how long are you going to mourn? How long are you going to mourn over that relationship and that friendship? How long are you going to mourn of that loss of perhaps a job or a church? How long are you going to mourn over these things? Yes, how long are you going to mourn over molestations and incest and rape? How long are you going to mourn over these things? The thing about this scripture is this. As long as there was a mourning, they couldn't put on fresh oil. That's the tradition of the priests of the old. As long as you were in mourning, you could not put on fresh oil. And God's saying to you this morning, I provided oil for you. And I want you to put on some fresh oil this morning and bury a few things. Cast off those grave clothes and lift your hands up and receive the oil of gladness and joy and purpose. That was lied to a lot of you this morning. And you believed it. But God's got a plan for you. Got purpose for you. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how old you are. It doesn't matter to God. I don't matter. You look at Moses, really, like 80 years old before he really become effective. So you got a few years to go and you're almost effective, brother. But see what God can do to people. Age is not a problem with God. It's surrender is the problem with God. I want my wife to come right now and we're going to begin to pray with each other and ask what the Lord would have us do this morning.
You know, when the Lord made this verse we've just read come alive in our lives, we were kind of camping around the hurts of the past. We were basically hanging around the graveyards of the past. And the Lord began to tell us that, like Jack said, when the priests of old were in a state of mourning, there was a period of time that they mourned. And they were not permitted to take fresh oil and anoint themselves and go into the Holy of Holies during the time of mourning. And the Lord began to tell us it's time that you come out of the tombs of the past and out of the graveyards of the past and come into resurrection life for your life. God has a destiny for every one of you. And with that destiny, He has an ability to equip you. There is an anointing waiting for you, a fresh anointing. Not just yesterday's anointing. Yesterday's oil to the priest was not sufficient to go into the Holy of Holies today. They had to have fresh oil. And just like God spoke to Samuel, you know, Samuel wept and mourned over Saul because he loved him. And a true prophet of God will mourn and weep over people that he sees where their lives are in a balance, where they're hinging from life and death. A prophet of God will stay up all night long if he has to, for days and days, weeping and crying over those whose lives is in limbo. And I believe Samuel was doing that with Saul. God, is there not any way that you can change your mind for him? Can't you just repent of what you've put a judgment on him? And then God says, I want you to stop mourning. How long are you going to mourn over this? He said, I've already made a plan to replace Saul. For I've chosen for myself a son among Jesse, the Bethlehemite, to be king over Israel. And he's saying to you and me this morning, how long are you going to stay in the graveyard of the past? I want you to come forth out of that tomb into resurrection life, because I have a fresh anointing for you, and I have already prepared for you a destiny and a road for you to walk through. So we got to cut away some things this morning. And boy, when I heard that, we began to forgive. We began to repent of bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment. We began to ask God to forgive us for allowing that bitterness of that hurt and wound to defile us, keep us from being able to forgive. And even deep resentments and sometimes hate will creep in, you know, to your heart. And when he did, immediately we began to see some releases and some answers to prayer. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to pray.
Why don't we just have everybody come up here tonight, this morning, to be a family for a little while. He loves us, people. Hey, baby, how you doing? Come here. Oh, Jesus. Come here. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Take it out. Yes, Jesus. Oh, Lord. We got a world like this. We got a world of people that need a touch. I need a touch from Him. Oh, Jesus. Is that talking to anybody this morning? First thing I want to do right now, this is important. I've seen this happen to people. I've seen chains fall off of people's like this, but it's one act we're fixing to do right now. I've seen it change people's lives, and it's going to change many of you this morning. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you thinking about just yourself right now, okay? I don't want you worrying about anybody else. Just close your eyes and just you. Just you. And in your mind's eye, see, men have a tremendous effect on people's lives. Fathers. The lack of fathers. But you need to understand something this morning. I'm not here to cast blame on dads. Because most fathers and mothers just respond by their environment that they've been raised in themselves. And we need a spirit of understanding on that. To understand what our parents had to put up with to get where they were. Can we do that for a second? But now, right now, I want you to close your eyes. And look at your dad's face right now. Just picture his face in your mind. Just look at his face. Come on. And say these words. Say, Dad, I forgive you. I forgive you for not being there for me. I forgive you for abandoning me. I forgive you for not protecting me and not guarding my soul and guarding my spirit and guarding my body. I forgive you, Dad. And I understand. And I charge not to sin against you. I release you into the hands of the Lord. And I bless you. And raise your hands now, folks. Let me pray for you. Father, I ask you now, God, I invite your Holy Spirit to come in and father these people this morning. Be a father to the fatherless, to them. Touch their spirits, God. Let it mature, let it grow. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, folks, say this. Say, Father, take the offense out of my heart. Forgive me for yielding to it. Take the effects of my offense out of my life. Bind every spirit, every assignment of Satan, and release me this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Sister, what happened with you here? Can I ask you? Brain tumor. Okay. Amen. Father, right now, I bring my sister to you right now. And God, we ask you to release her from all the effects. Release her from all shame. All shame must leave her right now, Father. That people will see her the way you see her, God. And release her right now from all the stigma of this thing, Father. And the deep hurts, God, that have attached themselves to her. I bind that hurt spirit out of her right now in Jesus' name. And I curse this one woman that sent it her way. I cancel that assignment and the effects of it right now. This one woman that sent this upon her. I command it to leave right now in Jesus' name. I command you to be bound and your effects to be bound in Jesus' name. Release this woman right now. Amen, amen. Okay, Father, we ask for healing right now. We ask for restoration, total restoration, Father, in this healing, Father God, this process, God. Heal and restore, God. Glorify yourself in this woman. Yeah, cancel the assignment of death, this death curse put upon her, Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Young man, this man right here, God wants to be a father to you, son. Father and Lord, yes. He's learned for it his entire life. He's yearning for a father's touch, God. And Father, you're going to show him that father's touch. You're going to nurture him. You're going to be a father to him, Father, in Jesus' name. Yes, you see, he'd be a father to the fatherless. You can have dads and still not be fathered. And God, we ask you right now, Father, God, raise your hands, son. Receive the spirit of the Father. Yes, impart that to him right now, God. Yes, Father. Yes, here. Come here, baby. He wants to father you too, honey. Come here. He wants to put a touch on you too. Come here, baby. Yes. Oh, Lord. Yes, Lord. This father here this morning, God. Yes, Jesus. Release from all this insecurity, this spirit of insecurity, Father God. That timidities and fears, Father God, and that shame that tries to cloak her. Release her right now. I command that to come off of her, God. Oh, yes, Father. Yes, Jesus. Yes. I release her from abandonment. I command abandonment to leave her right now and that curse of abandonment in her bloodline. It shall stop right here today. It shall stop right here today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah, all this abuse, Father. I cancel this offer in Jesus' name. Yes, raise your hands, honey. Just let him worship. Worship the Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, can I pray for you, baby? Can I pray for you? Yes, you're so sweetheart. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, I want to take this abandonment off of you, honey. Yes, all this abandonment. God, I command it to God cloak her right now. Yes, it's kind of shadowed you all your life, honey, and no longer. Today I cancel its assignment on your life. I cancel the effects of abandonment off of her right now in Jesus' name. It's spiritual abandonment, Father. And God, we ask you to begin to move in her life, Father God. Let people see her how you see her, Father. Anoint her, God, with a new cloak, Father God, of righteousness and pureness, Father. Pull out all the effects that it's had on her life. God, I ask you to take it off. Come on, Carol.
Take that.
Yes, take the fear off of her. Yes. Yes, pull it out of my shandala. Yes, Lord. That's okay, baby. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing it, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, come on, baby. Yes. Oh, this betrayal. Oh, this betrayal that's cloaking her. It's all over behind her. Yes, she's been, ever since she was a little girl, it's been afflicting her. She gave herself to folks and they just walk off in labor. And God said, enough's enough. And he's going to bring you some real folks in your life, God, that will treat you right. Father, we ask you to take that spiritual cloak off of her. Of that betrayal, Father. Yes, Father, release her right now. Release her right now. Yes, remove it from her, Father. In Jesus' name. Jesus, praise him, folks. Let's praise him. Amen. Amen, amen. We got the 12 o'clock. Is that where we're at? Okay. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, let's praise him, folks. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Jesus. Yes, yes. My sister from New York here. Can you come here? Can I pray for you? You, yes, yeah. Come on here. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Father. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Father. Bless her. Bless her. Yes, yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ko taramashandari. Yes, Lord. Yes, I feel this woman's been misunderstood most all of her life. And she tries to extend herself to people and they misread it. And as a result, there's been a lot of real hurt in her. Put your hand on her chest, honey. And take all that hurt out of her, Father. He's doing it, honey. Just let him do that. Yes. Yes, Lord, release her right now. Yes, it's a false image that people put on you. And they forced you into this. And God says it's time that you're going to become real. And he's going to let his spirit flow through you, and they're going to see you. That veil is going to be lifted off. Oh, take it off right now. In Jesus' name. I command that veil to come off of her. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, release her right now. Release her right now. Release her right now. Here it comes. Yes. 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 Every word from us fall to the ground, God. Yes. Cloak her now with that anointing, Father God. It flows like a river, Father. Jesus. Praise. Just begin to praise him, honey. Begin to praise him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Can I pray for you, honey? Can I pray for you? Yes. Yes. I want to take this cloak of shame off of her right now, Father. Take this shame off of her, God. She's carried her entire life, Father. I cut that cord of shame off of her, Father, and the effects of it has had in her, Father, and the things that she touches, God. Yes, yes, yes. She takes 3 steps forward, and it seems like she takes 4 backwards, God. And those are going to change in her life, Father God. You're going to bring in people in her life that are real folks, God, that are real relationships with the God. She's given herself and given herself and given herself, God. And people have taken and taken and taken and taken and taken and taken. And that's going to stop. I cancel that assignment off of her right now in Jesus' name. I cancel it off right now, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. It's like a web. Take that web off her right now. It's from a black widow, a woman. won't put this on you, honey. And I command that power to fall off her right now. I command that power to fall off of her right now in Jesus' name. Oh, Tada, begin to praise him, folks. Begin to praise him. Come on, honey. Come on, honey. Come on. Oh, Tada, Rama, Shanda, Tada, Rada, Kia, Tada, Rama, Tada, Mama. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, God, can I keep going here, brother, for a little bit? Is that okay? Is it going to hurt the food at all? Amen. Okay. Yes, Jesus, let's praise him, God. God wants to do some things here, honey. Yes, Lord. Yeah, who's here from Ohio? Somebody's here from Ohio. Is there somebody from Ohio? Y'all know Ohio, folks? Yeah, okay. Well, good for you. Good for you. Good for you. Come to you anyway, it's even better. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Jesus. Yes, yes, Lord. Yeah. Okay. Now, don't take this, don't be offended at me, okay? Okay, but I feel in your bloodline, honey, this is some time back, there's been a lot of some bestiality. And that bestiality has had an effect on you. In your family, but especially in the mind area, it's affected your thought patterns. And God said, it's time to clear that up. And Father, we bring that bestiality to you right now in this bloodline and release her from it and all the. Oh, come down out of my shandaya. Yes. Oh, out of my shandaya. All the effects of that, I cancel that in the name of Jesus. I command that insanity to come off of her in the feelings of insanity. Oh, come down out of my shandaya. In Jesus' name, I command you to let go. In Jesus, yes, yes, yes. The death curse that follows that, in Jesus' name. Keep going, honey. It's coming off of you. It's coming off of you. Yes. Off your children. Off your children's children. Give him a hand, folks. Come on. He's working here. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's all right. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Just get the... It's all right. That's okay. Just let them do this, okay? Let them do that, all right? Let's just begin to praise over here if we can, okay? Amen. God's got some other things to do here. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 That's okay. It's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know, they say that, you know, what makes a dirty old man is what it is a dirty young man that grew up. That's basically what happened. And so certain people have a certain countenance that they carry, and they don't mean to carry them. They just do, you know. So it's all right. Amen. So we need to move into some other areas here. But, brother, can I pray for you? I don't get distracted over here, but, you know, there's a... Now, don't get offended at this, okay? Please don't, okay? But there's a spirit, an unclean spirit that's on you, okay? You could go take a shower and put on a $3,000 suit and get yourself groomed to its max, and you'll still have an unclean spirit on you. You know what I'm saying? You carry that ore, and it comes to your father's bloodline. It's probably around the sixth generation, but it's still there. Okay, and we're going to ask God to take that off. Your countenance is going to change after today. See, your countenance is going to change. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bring this original sin. Father God, in Jesus' name, this unclean spirit, Father God, has been following this man all his life. He's been cloaked with this. He's been scorned with it. He's been intimidated by it. He's been rebuked by it. And it's all this bloodline, Father God, I command to let him go right now in Jesus' name. I command an unclean spirit to come off of him. Call it out of my son. His countenance will change. Come out of him now in Jesus' name. Yes. Come on out of him. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on. Come on. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Release them now. Release them now. Yes, Lord. 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 Come on. Yes, Lord. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go. Oh. Yes, yes. Release it from his father. Yes. All the effects of it. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Yes. 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 Come back here, honey. Yeah. I didn't get it all. I didn't get all what I wanted to pray for you, and now I got it all. Okay? We started. But what God wants to do right now, he wants to give you your own identity. See, you haven't ever had your own identity that you know who you are and what your purpose is. And Father, I speak her, this precious gal right now for her own identity. God, you begin to reveal to her, unfold to her, her purpose, her call. She's been a wonderful servant of the Lord, God. And Father, we ask, we call back her soul, we call back her anointing, we call back her mantle. We ask you, to God, begin to renew her soul now where it's been fragmented. And we call back her identity this very second. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. There you go. There we go. Now you got it. Yeah. Yes. Oh, God, out of my shine. Da, 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 da. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Pour out of my shine. Da, 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 da. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. 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 Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Let's just wait on him a second here. Anybody else have Tommy? You got something, brother? Anybody else or any ministers? Just let me know. We'll adjust. Amen. We'll adjust. We'll adjust. Amen. Yes. Can I pray for you, my brother? Yes. Yes, Father. Amen. Yes, Lord. This is a big man. And well, I believe that you struggled most all your life, sir, with never measuring up. You seem like you've worked hard and you tried to do a lot of things, but for some reason inside you feel like you never have measured up, and God's saying to you that you're my son in whom I'm well pleased. See, and there is a time of measuring, and the enemy's lied to you for a long time. And God, I put a blessing of a father on him right now, and God, I release him from all the shame that's upon him, Father God, and the lack of fathering that was there. God, we ask you again to father him, and again to speak into his spirit, God, the things you'd have him to speak to, Father. God, I ask you to release him from this cloak, Father God, never measuring up. And God, he's one of yours, and you're going to guide him into. He's going to bring you to another level, brother. He's going to bring you up to another level that you. And not because of anything you've done, but just to show you his blessings upon you for your faithfulness and your servanthood. And God, we ask you right now, this is a child that's been faithful. He's endured much pain. He's endured much turmoil. And God's seen every tear. He's bottled every tear in your life, sir. And he sees it all. And God, he's going to begin to move you to another level. It might be it might be some adjustments in your life, but he's still going to move you up there. And Father, we ask you to bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Begin to praise him, sir. Begin to praise him. Yes, Lord. Good, Carol.
I think that's probably why you're here. There's something in your life that you're really wanting, you're fighting and struggling with. And God wants you to obey him. You know, the word says that obedience is better than sacrifice. And God is putting his finger on some little things in your life that he wants you to give to him. And you can justify in your mind why it's okay to do certain things. But he said, if you'll give me those things and lay them at my feet, he's going to increase and bless you and take some guilt off of you in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you give him the courage, Father, to lay at your feet everything, God. Lord, you work with him. Work with him. Give him a mind of understanding, Lord. Father, that we and let the blood of Jesus become a reality to him, God, as you cleanse those areas of his life, God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's just praise him for a moment. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. I got one more. I want to pray for our brother here in the orange shirt here from New York. Can I pray for you, brother? All right. Amen. I really feel that Lord wants to do some things here with you. I see a scapegoat. I believe that you've been used as a scapegoat in some situations. And God wants to take that off of you, brother. You're not a scapegoat. And there's some false guilt on you. And this guilt doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong. You've been carrying it for a long time, but it's not yours. And we're going to send it away from you right now. And Father, we ask in Jesus' name to take this spirit of the scapegoat off my brother right now. And all this false guilt and all this cloaking of the guilt, I command in Jesus' name to let him go. Release him right now. Release him right now. It does not belong to him. Pour it out on my son. I put the blood of Jesus on it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Release him right now. Release him right now. Pour it out on my son. Yes, Lord. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Let it go. Yes, Lord. Let it go. Pour it out on my son. Yes. Begin thanking him for it, brother. Thank him for taking it off of him. Yes. Thank you for taking it off of him. Let's give him praise, folks. Amen, 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 amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just praise the Lord, folks. Just praise the Lord. I think there's several of you. I know there's several of you that have gone through rejection. You've been rejected on different occasions and by different people. And the Lord wants to set you free from that rejection and fear of rejection and self-rejection. So just if that's you, just lift your hand to the Lord right now, right where you're at. I knew there's a lot of you. I just sensed it. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, your spirit is here right now. Father, I ask you just to move and touch by your spirit every one of these. Lord, they've raised their hands in obedience to you. And Lord, right now, let your spirit move and get that rejection off of them. You're not rejected. You have been accepted into beloved. You have been accepted. You're no longer rejected. And we release you in Jesus' name from rejection, from fear of rejection, and from self-rejection. You are released from it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now just praise him. Give God the glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, does anybody else have anything else to this morning that they want to see?
Lord, speaking to me, there's some people that's been separated from their children from some of you a long time. He doesn't care how far the distance is. He said he's going to restore that relationship. He's going to bring them back from afar, sons and daughters. He just spoke to me. He said there's some children here also that hadn't been with their parents.